This is episode number 66 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Welcome to the Fearless Presentations podcast. I'm Doug Stannert, CEO of the Leaders Institute and Fearless Presentations, and this is the podcast that helps people just like you eliminate public speaking fear and become a more professional leader by developing those public speaking and leadership skills. This is actually episode number 66, and on this episode, we're going to start a series on how to break into the speaking business. We get questions about this quite often. Folks that will come through our classes and they're starting to enjoy public speaking now, and they say, "How do I actually make money from this?" Especially, you know, a lot of times when we're talking about people developing this skill, and we talk about how lucrative the industry is of being a really good public speaker. And so folks say, "Well, how do I actually start making money from this?" So we're going to give an overview of the different routes that you can take to becoming a more professional speaker on this episode. And then in the next few episodes, we're going to break down each one of those techniques into kind of a step-by-step process. So stay tuned for the next few podcasts. It should be really helpful if you ever want to be a professional speaker or make money from speaking. This podcast is brought to you by fearlesspresentations.com. And just so you know, we do have the two-day public speaking classes coming up all over the world, really. I mean, they're in every major city in the United States and Canada, as well as a number of cities in Europe. Coming up on the schedule, we actually have, I've got a class that we actually still have about four or five spaces in. It's coming up in Miami, and it's on February 14th and 15th, February 14th and 15th. It's one that I really want to kind of fill up. It's one that I'm going to be teaching myself. So if you're interested in attending a Fearless Presentations class and you want me to be your speaker, you can actually come to that class that's in Miami. Now, in addition to that, we also have a class coming up in Washington, D.C. We've got classes in San Antonio, Philadelphia, Chicago, Nashville, Boston, as well as Columbus. Those are all coming up just in the month of February. So if you didn't hear your city called, then just go to fearlesspresentations.com. There's a good chance that we're going to have a class coming up in an area somewhere close to you anyway, sometime in the next 2 or 3 months. So go to fearlesspresentations.com to register for one of those classes. Now let's get on with today's podcast. So we're going to title this series of podcasts, How to Start a Public Speaking Career. And we're going to cover a number of different tacks or a number of different ways that you can kind of break into the speaking business if you've never actually been paid to speak before. Before I get started, though, let me kind of give you some background. You know, being a professional speaker myself and knowing that this industry is very lucrative and it's also a very rewarding profession. But if you've never actually made money from public speaking before, you may be looking for some ways to kind of help you get started. And that's what this podcast is really going to be designed to do, the next few episodes anyway. So just as an FYI, the way that I did it, the way that I got into the public speaking business, is not necessarily the ideal way to become a professional speaker. In fact, when I give advice to new speakers coming in, I tell them to do the exact opposite of what I did. And I'll tell you what I did as I kind of go through it. It did work out, but it was hard. It was really, really, really hard. And now that I've been in the industry for a while, I can kind of show you a lot easier way to kind of break into the industry if you want to do that. Just so you know, I've trained over 100 professional speakers in my career, and some of those professional speakers are really at the top of their industries now. So I do have a pretty good track record of helping people kind of create a living from being a professional speaker. Now, I want to give you a warning right up front, though, and this is a warning to a lot of people that kind of want to get into the public speaking business. It is almost impossible to make public speaking your first career, right? So, or to make public speaking a career separate and apart from whatever you've been trained to do your entire life. So keep that in mind. The seminar and speaking industry is chock full of what I call motivational speaker wannabes. They're people who want to make their first really area of success or their first successful career be a career where they're helping other people become successful. And by the way, there are presenters and presentations like this. They really harm the industry, and they also harm those presenters in the long run because there's a good chance they're not going to kind of really succeed at it. When I first started the Leaders Institute, and by the way, by the time I started the Leaders Institute, I had already been in the training industry for about 6 or 7 years. And but prior to that, I had actually been fairly successful as a sales guy and in corporate America and that kind of thing. So I didn't just jump right into being a speaker and trainer right out of college. So, but when I first started, there was a young lady that had purchased it was a personnel assessment franchise. It was one of those franchises that if you're in human resources, you probably know about them. They're folks that will do assessments for your people and kind of show what their real strengths and weaknesses are and where they can improve and all that kind of stuff. So this one actually bought one of those franchises. And at the time, what I was doing to promote the Leaders Institute, because it was a brand new company, I was just starting out. I was delivering a number of presentations to local trade associations, to chambers of commerce in the area, professional associations. And I was doing that as a way to market the Leaders Institute or market my classes, let people know that I was actually in business. And by the way, we'll cover more on that as we kind of go into the sessions here. But what I noticed was that every time I would deliver one of these free presentations as a promotional thing for my company, this woman who did the assessments was actually in the audience. And every time I'd finish the presentation, she'd make a beeline to me, and she would, you know, give me all these great ideas about how we can be partners and how we can, you know, send customers to each other and all that kind of stuff. And I was always nice to her, and I was always cordial, but you know, the more that I would converse with her, the more I started to realize that she didn't really bring a whole lot to the partnership. For instance, I mean, one of the first few things that I would ask her or that I asked her at the time was, you know, what kind of experience that she had in the personnel industry. And her response to me, well, was that prior to buying this assessment company or this franchise, she had done nothing. She wasn't in HR. She had never done assessments herself. And in fact, as near as I could tell, she had never actually even hired anybody. So she wasn't a real expert on that thing that she was trying to teach other people to do. And she didn't have any customers at the time, so she wasn't really able to help me. And so I couldn't really help her because she just didn't really have anything to offer her customers either. And so it was really kind of awkward. It made it kind of awkward because I could tell by the way that one of the reasons why she kept coming to me was that she saw me get up and speak and deliver fantastic presentations and use that as marketing. And she really wanted to be able to do that as well. But even with a good product like she had, without the experience to back it up, I couldn't help her. I couldn't help her become a great speaker in that industry because she didn't really have the experience to use examples from the real world to help her clients or help her customers. And near as I can tell, I don't think she ever made a dollar in the industry. And so she had a really, really tough time. And that's the way a lot of people are when they try to jump into the, you know, they see these motivational speakers get on stage and they go, oh my God, that is so awesome. I want to be able to do that. Woo. And I've got great information because I've read 152 self-help books and I can just regurgitate that stuff. A good example of this, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I was going to say Netflix, but it's not. It's an Amazon Prime TV show. I think it's The Marvelous Mrs. Maples or something like that anyway. But it's about a woman who's becoming a comedian in probably the 50s, I guess. And in the very first episode, it's about how she is trying to help her husband become a professional comedian. And she figures out about halfway through the episode that her husband is basically just taking jokes that he's heard from records that he bought and kind of regurgitating those instead of trying to come up with his own material. And that's the way a lot of motivational speaker wannabes kind of are. They're just kind of taking stuff from books that they read and trying to make it sound really cool and regurgitate something that is somebody else's content. It's never going to be, if it's not your content, it's going to be much more difficult to kind of create a living out of it. An analogy I like to use here is it's kind of like if you're going to build a ski slope or build a ski resort and trying to do that in Houston, Texas. I mean, that would be ridiculous. You know, there's no mountains in Houston and it never snows ever, you know, so that would be a dumb place to put a ski slope. And that's kind of the way that a lot of times folks are when they're trying to create a public speaking career based on stuff that they've read somewhere or something that is not necessarily from their own experience. Now, with all that being said, a speaking career is a fantastic, what I call add-on to another career. So if you've already been successful in your specific industry, using public speaking as a way to add income or a revenue stream to your income anyway is a fantastic way to do that. A good example of this is there's a guy that I've become aware of. I don't know this guy. I've come across him so many times in a lot of different areas that he's become kind of famous to me anyway. His name's Marcus Sheridan, and he's with a company called River Pools, and I think they're in Maryland. And the first time I ever heard about Marcus was through the social media marketing organization. They do a podcast, and they do seminars. I think once a year they'll do an international social media seminar. And there was one of the interviews that was on the podcast was with this guy, Marcus. And it was basically how he created his pool company. He turned his pool company into this really, really huge organization by using public speaking. He was basically teaching people about the different types of pools that were out there, the different, you know, basically what they did was he and his team created a list of frequently asked questions and then put videos on their website about those frequently asked questions and use it as a way to market pools in the area and ended up, you know, creating a lot of income that way. And it worked so well for him that he actually has now become, he's got a second organization that helps people do that. So he's using the expertise that he gained from building his company using social media and using YouTube and using videos. And now he's using it as a way to help other entrepreneurs do the same thing. So he didn't set out to be a motivational speaker. He didn't set out to be a trainer, but it's created a unique revenue stream for him to be able to take that information, that expertise that he's gained over the years, and now help other people be able to do that as well. So that's just my warning I like to give right up front when folks want to be a professional speaker. If you're wanting to be a professional speaker to be a professional speaker, that's kind of challenging, and I wouldn't suggest that to anybody. However, if you've had a fairly successful career and you want to add additional income streams, public speaking is a good way to do that, or training other people or teaching other people to do what you did is a great way to do that. And by the way, you can do that in any industry. You know, for instance, let's say you were a manager at a fast food restaurant chain, and you were able to increase income from your particular store pretty dramatically. Well, I mean, you have an expertise now that the hundreds of thousands of other restaurants around the world would like to know how you did that. And so you can turn that into expertise that you can teach other people and create an income from it. Like I said, so you can do it in any industry. It doesn't really matter what you're an expert at. There will be somebody in that industry that wants that information if you've been successful. So let's start with the three kind of genres of ways that you can generate more income from public speaking. And I'll kind of give the pros and cons of each one. And we're just going to give an overview on this podcast. And over the next few podcasts, we'll kind of go into each one of those in a little bit more detail. So one of the best ways to start a public speaking career is to speak within your current industry. It's one of the easiest ways to start a public speaking career because you're already in the industry. It's even easier, by the way, if the industry that you're working in requires some type of continuing education. You know, for instance, one of the first Fearless Presentations instructors that I trained, one of the people outside of the Leaders Institute that came to the Leaders Institute to learn how to teach the Fearless Presentations classes, he was a CPA by trade. And in fact, he was the CFO of a local company here in Fort Worth, one of the bigger companies here in Fort Worth. And because he was the CFO, the chief financial officer of this good-sized company, the I think it's the American Institute of CPAs, the folks who do the continuing education for certified public accountants, asked him to come in and do a series of continuing education classes for the association. And of course, after he did that for a few years, he kind of got the bug and he realized that he absolutely loved teaching. He loved speaking. And that was when he kind of called me and said, hey, do you have room on your staff where I can kind of teach for you? And he worked for me for 2 or 3 years and was a fantastic public speaking coach, by the way. The only thing that kind of the only reason he's not still a public speaking coach for me is because he was so good at doing the CPA stuff that word kept growing, it kept getting out. And he created his own organization that does continuing education now for CPAs. And it's an international company now, or well, I guess a national company anyway. So he's pretty busy just doing that. But That's in a specific industry that requires continuing education. So as a result, there's way more opportunity to be a professional speaker doing continuing education in that industry than in ones that don't require that continuing education. Another great way, by the way, to earn income from speaking within your current industry is to use your speaking as marketing. I kind of mentioned this earlier. This is what I was doing very early on when I was starting the Leaders Institute, is I did a ton of free presentations. I did anywhere somebody would let me speak, I'd get up and speak. And you can do that as well. And in fact, one of my clients is a company who helps people control their own self-directed IRAs, individual retirement accounts. So basically what they do is, let's say a person is working for a big company and they have an IRA with that company, and then they quit or they retire, or well, maybe not retire, but get fired or laid off or something. When that happens, they now have the opportunity to self-direct their own IRA. They can actually invest in what they want to versus what the company was investing in their IRA for them. And that's what this company does. It helps people do that. Well, every Tuesday, I believe, they will have an education seminar at their office where they'll just invite people from the general public to come in and they can learn about how to invest in their own self-directed IRAs. And they use it as a promotional tool. I mean, it's offering great content for their clients, but it's also a way to get people in the door who may be in a position where they could be self-directing their IRAs, but they haven't yet pulled the trigger yet because they don't really know what they're doing. And so by going to one of these seminars, it's a great way for them to pick up new customers and clients and that kind of thing. You'll see this, especially in financial planning. You'll see financial planners that will do financial planning seminars. You'll see like realtors will go to I think it's the MLS, the multi-listing service or whatever it is, that they'll go and they'll network with each other. And sometimes we'll speak at those to generate more income. So there are all kinds of different ways that you can use public speaking as a marketing technique. And by the way, those are kind of the old fashioned ways. In today's world, there's a ton of different places out there on the internet that you can go and put a video of you speaking that will help you generate more income generate more leads or customers if what you're saying is something that the market is really looking for. And finally, one of the other ways that you can create income by talking about something in your own industry is by selling your expertise to others who want to do what you've done. So a good example of this is like the house flipping industry. It's kind of a case study in how to actually do this, because especially back in, I think it was around 2008 when the housing market just really crashed. Prior to 2008, to 2006, 2007, 2008, you were seeing all these house flipping shows on TV and stuff like that. The folks were showing you how you could make money flipping houses. And when the industry is really booming, you know, if when real estate, for instance, anybody, any idiot can flip houses and make money. If you know, the moment that you buy the house, if 6 months later that house is worth more without you doing anything, guess what? You're gonna make some money. When the market is crashing, though, it's much more difficult to flip houses. So what happened, especially around 2009, 2010, when the housing market crashed, is a lot of these guys that were these people that were experts at flipping houses now became trainers. They would go out and do seminars to teach other people how to flip houses. And so they were making money off of their expertise versus doing the actual house flipping themselves. And then once the market came back, they're all back out flipping houses again. So you gotta take a closer look at that industry. You can kind of see how people are selling their expertise in order to generate income. So that's the first thing that you can do. The first way to generate income or to kind of crack into the public speaking career is to speak within your current industry. Now, a second way to do it is to become a certified speaker for an established company, a company that's already in the speaking industry or already either delivering classes or training or in social media or whatever it is, and you start working for that company. By the way, this is the way that my company has attracted a lot of very highly skilled speakers. It's also the way that I got into the industry, by the way, just as an aside. But since the Leaders Institute has contracts to work with hundreds and hundreds of Fortune 500 companies, then we can hire and train speakers to conduct those programs for our customers. As long as they are delivering our content the way that we want them to, I can train a speaker to teach my classes and do as good or better job than what I do. And that's a good way for somebody to kind of come into the industry. And by the way, this is the way I've trained dozens and dozens and dozens of different speakers to work for my company over the years. And a lot of those speakers, you know, once they leave my company, they kind of go out and start their own companies as well. So it's a good way to kind of learn, you know, to cut your teeth in public speaking and get to know the industry and kind of see how things are played. And I mentioned that this is the way I got into the industry as well. When I first started in the speaking business, my first speaking job was with the Dale Carnegie Organization. And the way that I got into that company, or the way that I started working for that company anyways, I took the class. I was a nervous speaker. I didn't really feel comfortable to getting up in front of a group. I took that class. It changed my life. It made me a much, much better speaker. And it worked so well for me that I went back to the woman who taught my class and said, "Hey, can I work for you? Can I do this?" And she needed a salesperson. And so that's how I kind of got my foot in the door. And I was there for about 7 years or so. During that 7 years, I became one of the top sales guys. I became one of the top instructors for the company eventually after years of training. And so it was a good way to get into the industry and kind of learn the industry from people who know what the heck that they're doing. By the way, just as an aside, if you happen to be in the Washington, D.C. area and you're looking to get into the industry, we are currently looking for an instructor somewhere in the Washington, D.C. area. So you can actually go to our website. In fact, if you go to the podcast notes, I'll put a link there. If you happen to be in that area and you want to be a professional speaker, or you are a good speaker and you're looking for some extra income, you can actually do that. Let me give you the downside of this, though, right after I say, "Oh, hey, this is a good way to get in the industry." There is a downside that is important to know. The downside of this route is that if you want to create your own content, it's much more difficult to do that if you're working for another company or if you're representing another company. So, like, for instance, when I was with Carnegie, I had to stick to the approved company content. I couldn't go out and create my own stuff. And in addition, When I eventually wanted to kind of go out on my own and do my own thing. And when I did, I didn't have any customers, right? I mean, I had been working with some really, really big companies when I worked for Carnegie, but they weren't my customers. They were Dale Carnegie's customers. So I couldn't actually go out and steal customers from them or anything like that. That would have been, you know, unethical and probably illegal too. So when I started the Leaders Institute, I was starting from scratch. I didn't have any didn't have any customers, didn't have any success really under my belt for the Leaders Institute. And so the first couple of years in business were very, very, very lean. And so it's incredibly difficult to start a company from scratch. So, and by the way, that is the third way to kind of get into the speaking industry. The most difficult way is to just create your own content and start your own public speaking career from scratch. That's kind of the hardest way. Now, it is the most lucrative way in the long term if you have the stick-to-itiveness and you have the dedication to kind of create the company on your own. Then you have the opportunity to have a much, much higher level of success. Now, it is a whole lot easier to do this today than it was when I started the Leaders Institute 20 years ago, because the way technology works today, pretty much anybody can get into the speaking industry within a couple of minutes today versus years when I first started. So much, much easier. The biggest challenge that folks will have if they take this route, though, is getting that very first customer. You know, there are a lot of people who dream of being, you know, a professional speaker, and they see themselves as being the next, you know, Zig Ziglar, or Brian Tracy, or Anthony Robbins, or Les Brown, or some of those bigwig motivational speakers. However, motivational speakers are not nearly as popular as speakers who can actually help their audiences develop a skill. It's really, really challenging to be a motivational speaker. It looks fun, but there's just not that much call for it. There's a whole lot more call for speakers who are focused on a specific skill, become really good at helping people create that skill, and then turn that into a speaking career. So basically, it really ties back to that first technique that we talked about a few minutes ago, that technique where you're in an industry already and you're using public speaking as an additional revenue stream from that industry. It's a whole lot easier to break into the speaking business that way than to just kind of start from scratch and try to be a motivational speaker or something like that. So I can use myself as an example. And by the way, I didn't set out to be a motivational speaker. I did not set out to be, you know, somebody who you know, kind of whips up the crowd and gets everybody excited. And I do that now. I mean, I people do hire me quite often to do motivational speeches at their conventions, but that's not really how I got into the industry. I just wanted to help people reduce public speaking fear. I mean, that was my whole goal, was that when I started my career, I was a nervous speaker. I got over it. I fixed it. And so I wanted to be able to help other people do that. So since I had that challenge with public speaking anxiety myself and I conquered it, I figured that if I was able to share that with others or just kind of share with others what I did, then And if I did that and they got a similar result, then I'd be successful. I could help people develop that skill. So since I'm one of the top speakers in the industry now, I now get people to, or get companies that hire me to come out, and they'll pay me tens of thousands of dollars just to do a 1 hour motivational speech. But I didn't start off that way, right? I mean, that took years and years and years, really a decade or so of creating a brand in the industry before those things really started to happen. So how do you get that first client? I'll tell you how I did it, and maybe you can kind of use a similar technique, but, it may not be the best way, but I can kind of tell you what I did. Let me kind of back up a little bit. I tell you the best way to get your first client in public speaking or in a public speaking career is do what we talked about before. Start with a skill or with a success in the industry that you're working now. Get really good at what you do. And then if you have the ability to share that knowledge with other people, now it's an easier way to kind of get into the industry, because you're not trying to be a public speaker. You're trying to help people develop that skill. So that's the absolute best way to do it. When I started out, though, since I was in the speaking industry and I just worked for a big company, and when I quit that company, I didn't have any customers. I had to you know, I was kind of an idiot. I didn't know what I was doing. So I quit my lucrative job, and I had no customers. I had no income. And at the time, I think I had probably about 10 grand in the bank, you know, so that was my entire life savings at that point. Well, one of my big customers when I was at Carnegie, though, was a commercial construction company. Now, I'd been working with this company for years, and I knew the industry really, really well, but I couldn't really go to my friends at that company and try to pilfer business from them because, you know, that would be illegal and so and unethical. And I would have felt really bad about doing that. But because of my expertise with that single company, I knew that industry really, really well. So what I did was I went to the local association. It was called the Associated General Contractors. It was a trade association for that industry. And I just volunteered to write articles for them in their newsletters. I had a newsletter that came out every month. They were always looking for content. So I volunteered to write articles for them based on some of the problems that my clients had told me that they were experiencing and how I was able to help them solve that. And so, so after I wrote the articles, I would kind of keep following up with them. And every once in a while, they would allow me to come to the meetings and do a quick speech. And I'd use that as a promotional technique. And then the third technique or the third thing that I did after I kind of started to get a reputation in the industry as being a problem solver is I bought their mailing list. I bought their membership list. And then I started promoting a specific class or a specific presentation training or leadership training program that I designed for that specific industry. And I, lo and behold, it took me a while, but I got my first customer. And once I got my first customer and we had a success working with that organization, it was then a lot easier to get the second customer because now I had a previous customer, that first customer that loved me and thought that I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I got testimonials from them and used that to get the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. And it kind of snowballed from there. But it took a while, right? So that very first year that I was doing this, I think I brought in about $27,000 in gross revenue. That's not net. That's gross. That's basically before I paid for the mailing list, before I paid for postage, and before all the other stuff that it just sucked. It was not a very good year. It was a very, very, very lean year. However, I was building my brand. And that initial customer led me to bigger customers, and eventually I got into additional industries. And within 5 years, my company was now teaching over 300 classes a year. So it was not a fast growth, but it was a solid growth. And once we hit, it was like the third or fourth year, that's when it was kind of the snowball effect where we were the customers and the folks that we were helping just kind of increased exponentially. The key to success when you're starting from scratch is to create content that helps your clients really solve problems in their industry. And then once you've done that, give your secrets away. And this is where people go, oh, what? What did you just say? Well, wait, you're going to work that hard to help people accomplish something and then just give it away? Wow, that's idiotic, right? No, especially in today's world, when you're able to create those problem-solving skills and you've identified those secrets and then you give them away, it helps you build your reputation in that industry. Back in the day, if I had never written any of those articles, that if I had never given any of those free speeches, nobody in that industry would even know who I was. And so I had to use that as a way to promote. In today's world, it's a whole lot easier to do that than what I was doing 20 years ago. You know, for instance, you know, nowadays you can create a podcast, you can create a YouTube channel. In fact, if you want to be really, really successful in this industry today, you could, in a matter of, you know, maybe a week or so, you could probably create everything you need to know to make $1 million in this industry just by, and all, the only thing, three things that you would need is you'll need a website, you'll need a podcast, and you'll need a YouTube channel. You get those three things and some really, really good content, and you can make some pretty good money and get into the speaking industry pretty, pretty quickly. So, by the way, if you want to save a lot of time and a whole lot of effort in kind of putting this stuff into practice, you can always come to one of our classes, the Fearless Presentations classes. We teach people a step-by-step process of how to really create that content. And then you're networking with some of the best speakers in the industry that know how to make a living being a public speaker. And so you can use those coaches as your coach to help you create this new career that you're looking for. So that on the next few episodes, we're going to cover more details about each one of these treks or each one of these routes to becoming a professional speaker. So stay tuned. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, make sure to do that. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. And that way, as the new episodes come out, you'll get them right away. Also, you want to take a look at our podcast notes. I don't promote this a lot, but every single time that we do a podcast or that I do a podcast, we put an incredible amount of notes on the Fearless Presentations website. So if you're listening to a podcast, you know, a year after we create it, then basically all you really have to do is take that podcast name or that episode name and just type it into the search bar on the Fearless Presentations page and it'll come right up. It's very, very easy to find the podcast notes. There's all kinds of additional information there that will really help you. So we look forward to visiting with you next week on the Fearless Presentations podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.